At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Happening. Welcome to the Cubulous Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Nick Pollock. I know I said the F word. If you know me from Pitcher List, I am joining us today on the Cubulous Podcast because I know nothing about fantasy football. And I am so lucky because I get to talk today with Drew DeLuca, the new director of Cubulous. Drew, thanks so much for helping me out today.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Nick. This is great.
Oh, I'm not having... No, you're having... I'm here as a guest. I'm the guest. I know I'm hosting this one, guys. And And if you don't know this, I've done this for years with Eric Smith. It's one of my favorite podcasts of the year, even though it's football, just because I literally know nothing. I know absolutely nothing. I've done zero research. You guys know me. I don't touch football. However, I still play it. I play in the Cubulous Staff League. I play with my friends here. And... I do this one podcast, and this is my entire research for the entire preseason. I really don't do anything else. And so what we're going to do today is I'm going to go through all the quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, all basic draft strategies. And Drew, who is obviously amazing at this, I wouldn't say, you know what? Yes, Drew, go here are the keys to QB list if he wasn't actually good at this. Is going to help me out and guide me along the way. Oh, yeah, also, tight ends are there, and we'll talk about that one, of course, too. But again, just to remind everybody, Drew, you're stepping into this major role at Cubulous. Tell the people a little bit about your experience, everything about you, and what's ahead for Cubulous this year.
Sure. So, yeah, I've been doing this for several years now. I'm excited to step up into the role of director of Cubulous. So I've been a writer here for a number of years, and we're going to continue doing what we do on Reddit and everywhere else with our what we saw in our sit start team. So that's 2 weekly pieces that come out for us. They're the writers that we have do phenomenal work on those. So our what we saw pieces, of course, are breakdowns of every single game, and they're going on right now. So the preseason games, we have people watching every single one. breaking down every one of significance and every one of insignificance and telling you literally what we saw. And hopefully from a fantasy perspective, we're working in those kinds of implications as well. So our sit-start team, we are working on those. We're getting ready for week one for that. So we break down every single game and we tell you who we should start, who you should sit. We like this guy as a wide receiver 3 this week. This guy is a flex. We're sitting this guy entirely, and we tell you why, and we break it down. So we're very excited for both of those efforts to continue. And then also in our Discord this year, we're going to be having a live chat or a live interaction every kickoff Sunday. So between 12 and 12:30 every Sunday. A lot changes between our Thursday sit start and Sunday kickoff. So you have a chance as a pitcher list subscriber, as a QB list subscriber, to get into our heads and see who we would start in your situation. So Darnell Mooney's sitting. Who do I start? Do I start Chase Claypool? Please don't. For example, these kinds of things.
Chicago Bears guy, Mooney?
Yeah. Yep.
Man, I had him last year and I was like, this is disappointing.
Yeah, he was disappointing.
I was really in on Mooney. Oh, man, that wasn't fun.
You weren't alone. There's a lot of people that were in on Mooney. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Cool. I'm glad we're all suffering together. Wait, no, I don't want anyone to suffer like me. Anyway, if you're confused, by the way, if you get PL Plus or PL Pro, that includes all of QBList. So definitely, if you're already part of PL Plus, great, you're set. If you're not, consider getting it. And also, if you get yearly, that applies to both football and course the preseason and all of the season next year with pitcherless as well. So definitely go check that out. And yeah, Drew is amazing and has just done such a great job stepping in to the very, very big shoes to fill of Eric Smith. So and of course Eric's still around too. I mean, you heard his voice.
Oh, he's doing great things. Yeah, he's still with us. And we're
it's fantastic. So essentially the best of both worlds here, and I'm excited because I don't know anything. And then this is like my time to learn. So let's just kind of jump in. I mean, I say that, you know, 4 minutes, and I hate when I say that and other people say that, like jump in after 4 minutes. But okay, here we go. First and foremost, my biggest strategy every year, I hate this about fantasy football, is tight ends. Oh my gosh, I hate tight ends. They're always like one or two that are great. And the gap between the first and second, or really the first two, and then everyone else is just so massive. I can find some random wide receiver who might get some 10 points, 12 points in a given day. Tight ends, I will just have like a goose egg, or I'll have like Kelsey at 25 or something, right? That to me, I will always go for Kelsey or another equivalent first round tight end. What are we looking at this year when it comes to tight ends?
Well, Kelsey, you nailed it, is the number one tight end, and it's not close. So if you're in a tight end premium format, Kelsey should be an early to mid first round pick. You can make a good case for him to go at the back end of the first or early second in a traditional one quarterback league. So that is a guy that obviously you can definitely target from the tight end position. So I think a lot of people are kind of Travis Kelsey or bust, and I respect that strategy. I do like Mark Andrews. You typically get him in about the third round or so of most drafts, but that is a little early for tight end draft capital when there's so many great running backs and receivers on the board that early. And we'll talk about this later, but even the top quarterbacks are starting to creep up in that neighborhood as well. So I think that's a pretty sound strategy again to, you know, either Kelsey or bust, or maybe Andrews if he falls to you. A lot of us are high on TJ Hockenson from the Minnesota Vikings, who, to his credit, stepped right in there in Minnesota, middle of the season at a position that's very difficult to kind of learn and master. And he hit the ground running and was one of the most productive players at the position down the stretch, which is phenomenal. And it really kind of feathered his cap, considering he's got Justin Jefferson, such the premier target hog right there on that team. And he was still, you know, a man among boys, the tight end position. So even in his case, though, I'm waiting. If those guys are still there when I'm interested in getting a tight end and I've got a couple of running backs and receivers that I like, then sure, I'll roll the dice on them. But generally speaking, I'm kind of waiting to see what kind of value tight ends fall to me later on.
So when it comes to tight ends for me, generally it comes down to, like, is there, I remember, like, for example, Pitts last year. Pitts was highly regarded because it was like, oh no, it's a wide receiver as a tight end. With Mark Andrews, it was in Baltimore. There weren't many other options for catch, you know, for receptions and all. Mm-hmm. Man, it's just so weird to talk about football. So with Kittle, he's not being regarded because of his health, correct?
Just well, yeah, I mean, record? Hey, I guess health is a little bit of a concern, but there's nothing there. There's no soft tissue injury or anything that should cause us to fade him significantly. It's just a matter of the draft capital cost with George Kittle. And really the big reason why you would fade Kittle is the fact that we have Christian McCaffrey in there now in the backfield. We have Debo Samuel there. We have Brandon Ayuk there. So there's a lot going on there in terms of potential people who are getting targets. And we don't really know necessarily that that volume for Kittle is going to be consistent from week to week. And if you're using a high pick on a tight end, you want consistency. And we can't bank on that from Kittle. So that's why why when we like him, we're not taking him with an early draft pick.
Gotcha. Okay. So I mean, yeah, it does really seem like it's just Kelce or nothing. Are there any of these guys? I mean, I'm seeing it from Fantasy Pros' ranks overall here. So Kelce, Mark Andrews, TJ Hockenson, Darren Waller, then Kittle, Pitts, Goddard. Is it Goddard? Like Goddard?
Goddard. Yeah, Dallas Goddard. Yeah.
Goddard. Thank you. I don't know this. Yeah. Evan Engram. I'm so sorry, everyone. Nyoku. Schultz. Freiermuth. Is there anyone here that is going to be essentially like a wide receiver two for this team?
Well, I guess if you're looking for somebody that here in this part of the draft down there in the late middle to late rounds as to who you can take throw a dart at and hope for fantasy production, Evan Engram's being faded by a lot of people because, Calvin Ridley's there now and there's supposedly a lot of targets to feed just like we have with Kittle. But he essentially produced on par with Kittle last year and he's going several rounds later. And he was a top five tight end last year, and he's being treated as bottom end of the top five, 10 this year. He's going around tight end 8, 9, somewhere in that ballpark. So we do believe in that Jacksonville offense. We believe that Trevor Lawrence is going to continue to take steps. There's a lot of weaponry there and a lot of reason for optimism. So and obviously we saw Trevor Lawrence click with Engram last year. So one great strategy would be to fade Kittle and some of those guys where they're going and then take a guy like Engram or Freiermuth or Chig Okonkwo or Dalton Schultz, who should be getting a lot of targets in Houston. So those are all guys who are going to be going super late and allows you to really stockpile running backs and wide receivers. So Engram is kind of a guy I'm looking at if I'm passing on Kelce and Andrews and kind of seeing who's sitting around there in the middle rounds. He's a name that interests me. And so does Pitts. I mean, Pitts last year was hurt and we missed a lot of time. But he also played with some absolutely abysmal quarterback play last year. He's one of the leaders in the NFL as from the tight end position as far as depth of target. So they were taking a lot of shots with him. They just weren't connecting. And if you watch the Philadelphia Eagles preseason game last night and watch Marcus Mariota, that same quarterback, he was absolutely atrocious last night. Philadelphia's a little bit of a panic. What happens if Jalen Hurts goes down? We can't have this. So that's what Kyle Pitts was working with all year. So now with a new quarterback coming in and Desmond Ridder, you're getting Kyle Pitts several rounds later than you were last year. He's every bit the same athlete that he was before. So that's the thing, is now your opportunity cost is a lot lower. You're not having to pass. Sure. You can still get all those prime receivers, running backs, and take a shot on Pitts later. So
now, okay. Obviously, I think I jumped the gun a little bit when it came going straight to tight end, because a lot of my philosophies when it comes to the offensive guys is rooted in the quarterback himself. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put a pin in this. We're going to get back to tight ends a little bit later again. It's going to be kind of a tight end reprise later. But as it is right now, Kelce and Andrews are bust in a way here. I mean, Andrews to me was tight end two last year underneath Kelce. And I don't really see that changing. I believe Lamar Jackson is back.
Yes, he is.
And one thing, right? Wasn't there like a giant, all the Baltimore people I knew. Okay.
Yeah. And they actually got some new weapons in that offense too. They drafted Zay Flowers in the first round. They signed Odell Beckham Jr. So there's some new pieces in that offense. And more importantly, they have a new offensive coordinator. So Greg Roman really held back that passing game in a big way. He's gone. Todd Monken is now in. He's a much more pass friendly mind. He's really going to open up the offense in a big way, which really could spell great things for Andrews. I mean, we're looking at an offense that's going to be more efficient through the air. That should lead to more red zone opportunities for Andrews. So I still do like him as a tight end, too, for sure.
Sure. Okay, so let's go back to quarterback here. So when it comes to quarterback, I think sometimes you get undervalued inside of the drafts, because if you have a really, just like it is with tight end, it's just one of them. And if you have that one, that is just every single week you don't need to think about, it is such a blessing and allows you to spend those bench spots a lot more on just trying to chase that next running back, the handcuffs of that, the wide receivers and such. I do this a lot with fantasy baseball as well, where I'm all about like, okay, let's just get my offense down so then I can invest in pitching. And I feel like it's that same kind of thing where it's a lot easier to replace in season your running backs and your wide receivers than it is your tight ends and your quarterbacks. Would you agree with that assessment or no?
Yes. I mean, to a point, I mean, you're always going to have surprises at every position. Last year, one of the top five quarterbacks in the league ended up being Geno Smith. And I don't think anyone saw that coming. Sure. We were talking about whether or not he's going to beat out Drew Lock this time last year.
Right.
He ended
right.
up winning a lot of leagues last year as a guy that came there, yeah. was picked off the waiver wire. So I don't like taking an early pick on a tight end. I kind of like you. I think you're comfortable in a baseball sense, feeling out your offense, then relying on your knowledge and expertise of pitching to kind of go from there and pick up the slack. And you know what metrics to look for. So from a quarterback perspective in a one quarterback league, it's a deep position. It's probably the deepest of all the four positions. So I'm comfortable waiting to see what value falls to me. So if I'm taking a quarterback early, I want Jalen Hurts or Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, but those guys are now going super early, third round, fourth round. And that's a big investment of draft capital. You can wait and you can get a guy like Justin Fields, who was a top five quarterback last year in terms of his per game performance. He almost broke the single season record for most rushing yards in a season by a quarterback, despite missing two games. So he's there. With DJ Moore now, a shiny new toy to work with. You have Justin Herbert that's still sitting there primed for a bounce back and a better offense coming from Dallas in the form of Kellen Moore. So these are great options for you. And Trevor Lawrence, we just talked about him previously. These are great options who have top three upside as quarterbacks that you're getting several rounds later. So that's my preferred strategy, is kind of wait to see what the board gives me in terms of those top eight or so tight ends and pick and choose to see what's there. So I'm looking to see when Fields and or Herbert go. That's a signal for me that one of those three guys that I'm looking at in those middle rounds are about to pop off the board.
Okay. So I would say this is interesting. So like Mahomes, obviously number one, he's Mahomes. Josh Allen kind of doing the same thing. Totally get that. Jalen Hurts. These are guys that run, right? Mm-hmm. And Lamar Jackson, was he doing that last year a lot? Was he like still repeating it back to, I remember 2021, he was so good, but 22, was it the same?
You know, we had some injury issues with sure. Lamar last year that held him back a little bit. He's healthy now. And like we said, he's in a new offense. So he may run a little bit less this year in that new offense, sure. but he's still going to be a beast on the ground for sure.
And Burrow Burrow was really good last year and it feels very safe. Sure. Justin Herbert was kind of, I was super in on Herbert last year. I call my team something Sherbert or something like that. So like Jerry Sherbert or something. I'm with you there. Justin Fields, I know he runs a lot too. When he like is amazing, it's amazing. Trevor Lawrence was a surprise. I get that. Was he running at all?
He gives you some rushing utility, but it's not high end. So when you're talking about your elite rushers, you have Josh Allen, you have Jalen Hurts, you have Justin Fields, you have Lamar Jackson. Those are guys you can pretty much write in ink. They're going to get 700 yards rushing. Daniel Jones, of all people, ran for over 700 yards last year as well. He's a sneaky high floor player too. We talk about what the board falls to you. If you miss out on all those guys entirely, Daniel Jones is sitting there and he's got some more weapons to work with this year than before. Right. And he finished as a fringe quarterback one last year. So he's not going to win a championship for it, but he's certainly not going to tank your team. And you're going to get him super late. So that's another thing to keep in mind. So that rushing floor is that you just alluded to is huge from the quarterback position.
Now, so as far as I don't think I'm going to be spending on a QB, because there's one that I was really in on last year and it was injuries that pulled him down. But gosh, okay. Tell me if I'm right. The Dolphins still have their two amazing wide receivers, right?
They do.
And Tua's really good. Tua's really good. And he was hurt last year, but when he wasn't hurt, he was amazing. Am I right about this?
You are 100% correct on that. So Tua is another guy that I like in that area of the draft.
Overall.
Really? Yes.
Overall.
Well, let me just read this off to you. So this is from a Dolphins Homer website, but they're all factual statements. He had a 105.5 passer rating, which ranked first. He was first in the league in yards per attempt, 8.9. He was first in the league in touchdown percentage, which is 6.9%. Now, that's usually a little not very sticky, but when you're talking about having Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, I'm pretty confident that's still going to remain pretty high. He was second in the league in most 50 plus yard touchdown passes. He was actually number one in 40 plus yard touchdown passes. So if your league has bonuses for long touchdown plays,
I wouldn't think that's sustainable though. You know,
It is when you have
bombs, right? Yeah. But then again, with those wide receivers, obviously, are just the fastest, amazing, you know, separation, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm in a weird.
So, I mean, so
yeah,
two weird, to me here at 11. I don't mean it. I'm sorry to cut you off. I know I have like 20 million things to go over, and I want to make sure we get to all of it. I mean, this is great insight that you have here. And I'm looking down on this list here. You were saying, okay, Aaron Rodgers, I'm just not going to touch. Kirk Cousins is way too much of a Toby. I'm sorry, that's a baseball term. Toby is like the most borderline, like not worth basic. You're going to debate every single week if he's on your team, especially when you get past the first nine or so. No. You are churning and burning that QB. So no, thank you. You are Kirk Cousins is saying, was that Daniel Jones? As you're saying, high flourish, fine, but I don't really think that's going to be the explosive guy that you want. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I just don't see it from him. Geno Smith, it was very exciting last year. I'm happy he had that career year. Usually that's a peak. That doesn't seem right to me. I have no idea who Anthony Richardson is. Who is that guy?
He is a rookie from Florida who was drafted in the first round by the Indianapolis Colts. And he's an interesting story because I believe I saw right up that Tom Brady attempted more passes last year as a member of the Buccaneers. And age 40, whatever it was, age 4,576. Then he threw his entire high school and college career. So, it's and Trey Lance in that ballpark as well. So he started about 12 or 13 total games. I think he played 12 or 13 total games in the SEC. So I'm not confident. He has a very, very low floor, but he has an extremely high ceiling just because of the fact that he's such a freakish athlete. He runs like a 4.4 flat or lower. He's incredibly big, strong, rocket arm. He's got all those physical intangibles. So people are kind of salivating over all of those tools. But as you know, from a baseball perspective, sometimes the guys throw 100 miles an hour are also the ones that can't get the ball over the plate.
Yeah, Cole Reagan's great today. It was good. Okay, sorry. But that's what I got to do. Okay, everyone. Yeah. Jared Goff, not going to do that. Russell Wilson, oh my gosh, no. Now, the one I'm seeing here, I mean, there's a couple extra ones because every team has a QB. So, like, there's going to be something in here that's surprising. And there is a major question that I have to ask, but I want to ask it at the end after I go through these names. There's, I don't know who Kenny Pickett is. He's a rookie coming in or something.
Second year from Pittsburgh. He was a rookie. He was the only quarterback drafted last year in the first round. So he's Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. He was very underwhelming last year, but he has, by all accounts, taken some major strides in camp and in practice, and there's a lot of positive buzz about him. He's got some great weapons with Deontay Johnson and George Pickens there. So there's optimism for him to really kind of ascend and have a good jump in the second year, but I'm not really targeting him in regular one quarterback leagues unless they're huge, like 16 teams or something like that. So, but he's in super flex leagues. I'm interested, but in one quarterback, I'm probably going to pass on.
That makes sense. Okay. Yep. So, I mean, so the question I'm really going to be asking, and it's really important to get the kind of grasp for me when it comes to these QBs later on here, right? To me, it's less about them and more about what's surrounding them. So for example, I mean, like, Bryce Young, again, don't know who that is. Brock Purdy, I heard things about. Maybe, you know, there's some excitement a little bit for him last year. Remember, he like had this amazing stretch or something, I think, for the Giants. I see San Francisco. I'm so sorry, 49ers.
49ers, yep.
There's Kyler Murray, who maybe, was he hurt or something? And is he coming back? And there's CJ Stroud, who I know because I'm a Michigan fan. And I know OSU people. So Stroud, he's a runner, right? There's something there. If he's starting for that team, then maybe there's that. Jordan Love, who I guess is taking over in Green Bay. And of course, Jimmy G is there too. No one wants to touch Mac Jones, I assume. No one wants to touch Ryan Tannehill anymore. Or Sam Howell, I guess, who's for the Commanders. And Trey, I don't know what's going on in San Francisco. Is Trey Lance just kind of done now because Brock Purdy has it now? Or, okay. So I guess what I'm going to be asking here is, of all the guys I just mentioned, who are the ones that can run? If they can, if they actually be like, no, I actually think that they maybe will be getting opportunities to run in the first place. That already is like, okay, there's your ceiling. Let's just start there. Who of those young ones that I just mentioned can run?
Well, aside from Richardson, who we talked about earlier, Bryce Young, He didn't run a whole lot in college, but he runs a 40 or in the 4.4, 4.5 range.
Alabama?
So he can run. He can. And he might have to in a Carolina offense that's kind of has, I think, what's their best pass catcher is the animated corpse of Adam Thielen coming over from the Minnesota Vikings. But he's his best days are behind him. So he's got some interesting young talent around him. But there's nobody right now that we're saying, oh, my gosh, that guy's going to be the alpha in that offense. So it's quite possible that Young could have that.
I mean, you never know with this stuff. And like, so with Bryce Young, Alabama, correct?
Yes.
And Thielen, how old is he?
Thielen, I wouldn't say he's probably 33, 34 ish.
Oh my gosh, he's younger than me, and you're calling him a corpse.
I don't want to talk about it either.
Don't call him a corpse. He's trying as hard as he can. And CJ Stroud, I believe he runs too, and he's the guy in Texas, correct?
Yeah, he doesn't have the same speed that Young does. But yeah, he is a pinpoint thrower. You saw him, I guess, at Michigan, Ohio State, which was very favorable for Michigan this past year.
Don't worry.
That's right. I'm married into a Michigan family, so I'm allowed to say that, right? So
there you go. Is Kyler Murray. Is the only concern that you just thought, what did he miss last year, or what's going on there?
Yeah, he shredded his ACL in the middle of the season. So I think it was December, I believe it was. He tore his ACL. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't – that's the thing, too, is his fantasy utility is very much tied to his mobility and his ability to create on the run, not just from, passing, or running, racking up yards with his legs, but that just opens up, opportunities for him in the passing game. And I'm really concerned that he's, number one, not going to be running when he comes back with, obviously a brace in his leg and everything else. But I don't think he's going to be able to create like he was before. And he also lost DeAndre Hopkins in this as well, who's been traded to the Titans. Okay. So, and Zach Ertz is coming off an injury of his own. So, I mean, we're left with a pretty bare cupboard for a quarterback coming off a major knee injury. So I'm fading him entirely.
Okay. So I mean, I will say this. I'm not in on him. I mean, he's 154th overall. But I'm more in on him than, say, like Russell Wilson, because I understand your concern about the ACL and stuff. I'm like, I get it. If I have Russell Wilson on my team, he should not be on my team after the first week, right? Like, this is really just, there's got to be someone else. That's the 18th, and you're in a 12-team league. Why is it Russell Wilson, right? So I would rather just see what the heck it is. We don't really know. We're like supposing, okay, ACL injury, maybe he doesn't have his mobility, but what if he does? What if actually he needs to come back and trusting it again? He needs to do it. Then like, well, there you go. Then that still should be better than Russell Wilson, I would imagine.
I could see that logic. And I mean, I guess if you wanted to pick him up and stash him on an IR spot, there's little to no chance he's going to be ready for week one. When he does, he's going to come back probably midseason to hopefully, rescue the Cardinals from Colt McCoy. I don't really know. Like I said before, I'm worried about the surrounding cast there. So he's got James Conner. He's got Hollywood Brown, who has lingering issues of his own from last year, injury wise. So there's just not a whole lot of reason for me to. This sounds crazy, but I actually might rather take my chances that Russ has a renaissance under Sean Payton, and who's coming into Denver as the new head coach, bringing a new offense. He's got Jerry Jeudy there, who's got limitless potential, hasn't realized it yet. It's quite possible that Sean Payton could unlock him as he did Michael Thomas in New Orleans. So, and then you have Courtland Sutton there. They did lose Tim Patrick, a valuable third receiver for the season. They do have the rookie Marvin Mims there, who's impressive, a second-round pick. So I think I might actually rather take a chance with Ross. He's probably not going to run like he used to, but I'm not sure who I would rather take and who's going to have more rushing yards this year, Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson bet. I'm not sure which side I would take.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I didn't realize that was halfway through the season too with Murray, so that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But I would rather go for then like Bryce Young or, I mean, absolutely everything you're saying about Anthony Richardson sounds incredible. And it really leads me to my next question, which is which teams have the best offensive line right now?
I would say the Philadelphia Eagles. That sounds like a homer, as you know.
Was last year. And I remember saying like Jalen Hurts and whatever the guy's name is, Well, or something like that. The running back, I was like, go for that A.G. Brown. Like, this is it. Offensive line is everything. So. Cool. The Eagles. Okay.
The Eagles are number one. They still, they return just about everybody. They lost Seumalo, one of their guards, to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the Cam Jurgens, who they drafted the year before, is ready. He's going to step right into that role. He's
number
kind of
two
interior.
Here?
Yeah. I would say Cleveland, according to PFF, Pro Football Focus, Cleveland is number two, which is another reason why I'm high on Nick Chubb.
But yeah, we'll get to that later. I won't take Deshaun Watson in any world because of he's Deshaun Watson. Sorry.
I understand.
Never Watson. Nope. Moving on. Okay. Who's
Chiefs
number three?
Chiefs are number three. Yeah. Chiefs, I would say, are up there as well. Detroit has a sneaky good line. Yeah. Detroit has a sneaky good line as well. Baltimore Ravens, the Dallas Cowboys, I'm able to say that word out loud, those words out loud. Yes, so Zach Martin is back in the fold now. He got a contract. So any concerns about that line should be going out the window. And believe it or not, the Atlanta Falcons actually had a pretty good line last year. And they just drafted, we'll talk about him later, but they just drafted Bijan Robinson, the prospect du jour in all of football, and with a top 10 overall pick. So putting him behind that offensive line.
Name in front of me. Oh, yeah. So I guess really is like Indianapolis. Okay. So on the other side of that, it's really, really important to know which teams have the worst O-lines.
Okay. Well, one of them is the Los Angeles Rams. So you're looking at, that brings me a lot of concern for Matt Stafford, who missed a very large chunk of the season towards the end of the year with a spinal cord contusion. So I mean, honestly, if he could be one hit away from retiring, honestly, and they have little to nothing behind him, so that team could go from okay, well, they're not totally a mess to oh my goodness, what a train wreck in a heartbeat, and they might be looking at taking Caleb Williams or trying to get Caleb Williams, but I don't know if they are able to do that or not. Their draft pick coverage is pretty bare. So the Cardinals have a bad line again, which is not good for Kyler Murray. So when he comes back, coming back with a bad knee behind a bad offensive line.
Yep.
According to PFF, the Titans have a terrible offensive line. Tennessee Titans. We'll see. These things have a way of working themselves out sometimes, but then you have Derrick Henry in his age 29 season. Had 383 touches last year. That makes me a little concerned for him just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Still respect the king, but that line is a concern. Seattle's and the Giants on paper are a little bit of a struggle, but they couldn't take steps this year. So Charles Cross and Evan Neal are both taken in 2022 in the first round. If they both take a step this year in their second years, those lines will improve significantly. And that should help. So, but they're definitely ones that it's fine to take, keep an eye on and say this could be bad. But the only three I'm really concerned by are Rams, Cardinals, and to a lesser extent Titans. And really, from an offensive line standpoint, for fantasy purposes, that's what you're looking at. Who has really, really good offensive lines and who has really, really bad? The rest of it just kind of shakes out over the course of a season.
Right. So the real thing there was I wanted to know about Anthony Richardson. I wanted to know about Bryce Young. I wanted to know about not necessarily Kerry, but maybe Brock Purdy and CJ Stroud to see like if they were, if they're going to be overly panicked in that pocket a ton, or if they're actually going to be able to do something. And actually, having a mix is a good thing generally, because then maybe it'll force their hands sometimes to run as we want them to, but also make it really cool. We can stay in the pocket and throw as well. So not necessarily having one or the other is maybe a good thing for them.
Right. I mean, in the case of Purdy, I don't know how much running he's going to do, but he does have Trent Williams, arguably the best tackle in football in front. And then, of course, in the Bryce Young situation, we mentioned he doesn't tend to run, but he can. He has that speed. Their line's actually above average in Carolina. They actually have a pretty solid line. So he's one to kind of keep an eye on. There are situations and scenarios where he could end up with a better than expected rookie season. So I think a lot of the hype is on Anthony Richardson, and I understand why, looking at his physical gifts. But I'm really interested to see what Bryce Young does in Carolina. So he's got some potential weapons to work with, and like you said, he could tuck it down and run, if they give him enough time, he sees some a lane develop. I could see him using speed to help that team win some football games.
So what we're gonna do is we're gonna jump now to running back and wide receiver, and then return a little bit to tight end, and then we're gonna bring it all full circle where I'm gonna tell you where I'm thinking, put down my stakes in the ground, saying which team I like, which players I'm going to be going for, as we talk about the positions in the draft and just like what that means as you go through. Because if you say, cool, I have the second pick, that's going to be a way different team than if you have the 11th pick, just because of what is available to you there. It's also very interesting inside of the world of fantasy football, where your draft spot dictates your team so much more, I think, than in fantasy baseball. It's the first 2-3 picks are much more significant than in baseball. So it is really frustrating, honestly, where it's just sometimes I roll the dice. I'm like, well, I have to take these two because that's what you do here. And I don't know if it should be that way. But anyway, that's another thing about me rambling. We're going to go now to running backs. And that's a good transition, I think, from the offensive line stuff. Because I'm looking now at, again, this is me just using Fantasy Pros ones, and you're going to tell me which ones kind of differ a bit from the Forbes official QB list rankings. I'm seeing Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler, B.J. Robinson. Oh, I see it now. Okay. I thought it was B and then J. I understand. Bijan Robinson.
Yep.
Bijan. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Wow. Third. This is a rookie. This is a rookie, and you're telling me the offensive line was good last year, so everyone is jumping in on this. He is ninth overall is what I'm seeing at the moment. And this is ahead, of course, Saquon Barkley, Chubb, Derrick Henry, Tony Pollard, Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs. Third. Why is he third?
Well, you're not the first person, the only person who thinks it's a spicy to put a rookie that early, number three overall. But he has been comped. I guess he's the highest rated rookie to come out since Saquon Barkley. So, and you're putting him in an offense in which Tyler Algier, who was very pedestrian, was a weekly fantasy producer. So Tyler Algier is not a tackle breaker where Bijan Robinson is. Tyler Algier does not offer utility in the passing game like Bijan Robinson does. So, and of course, they used a ton of draft. It's in this, we're in an era where running backs don't get paid and they rarely get drafted in the first round. He got drafted in the first round and a pretty sizable contract right off the bat. So some people might say, well, what about Tyler Algier? He had a pretty good year last year. Isn't he going to get some work? I don't think so. Not when you have a guy like him coming in, a true bell cow, and you're putting that kind of investment into him. To me, I think it's justified to have him as running back three. We've seen before in the past, rookies have phenomenal years at the running back position. It is the easiest of all the core positions to produce as a rookie. And he's set up so well with a perfect storm of situation there with the, like we mentioned, with that offensive line. There's really no one in the passing game, except we have a little bit of Pitts, a little bit of Drake London, but he's going to be one of the top three options in the passing game too. So he's a guy that I think is well justified. I have him as the running back three in my rankings as well.
And who's their quarterback again?
Desmond Ridder, University of Cincinnati, second year guy, third rounder.
Tell me
he
about
runs a little
guy.
Bit too. Yeah, but he runs a little bit. He's definitely from what we've seen. He's obviously not Tom Brady, but he can move a little bit, create a little bit, and he's definitely from the beats that we're getting better than Marcus Mariota, which is kind of holding that whole offense down last year. So I'm not super high on Ridder per se, but that's not what Arthur Smith offenses do. That's not what the Atlanta Falcons are going to do. They're going to run the football and they're going to find ways to get the ball into Bijan Robinson's hand. And they were very successful. They were a competitive team last year. And a lot of it was because of the offensive philosophy, and it's just a perfect fit for Bijan Robinson.
Man. Oh, okay. So, I mean, so it makes a lot of sense because generally, as if you're saying this Riddler,
Desmond Ridder. Yes.
Ridder. I'm so sorry, guys. Well, okay. Wow. So Ridder is to me, obviously not like a big deep threat. That's like, give me the football. I will put it in the hands of the right guys. I will command it and everything. Which generally then means that you are going to be doing a lot of two types of play calls a ton. One is play action and then drop offs, relying on the running back, and then also quick slants from the slot. You know, that's, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but like quarterbacks that are not confident or not really that great at the passing game don't go to the outside receivers as much. They go a little bit more in the slot for the quick releases and don't try to, you know, rely on their own skills of making something happen or whatever as it gets deeper and deeper after the snap. So he will be like, I got nothing. I'm not going to risk this. I'm just going to go to BJ and Robinson.
And he could release that onto the flat if there's nothing there. That can certainly happen as well. So, and the line should be decent enough to give him enough time to see nothing develop before he dumps down to Bijan. So,
yeah, I mean, there might be some value in that because obviously a lot of running game involved with him, but with Ritter. I got it right that time. but if you're saying they have a great offensive line, and as you know, you have a massive threat in your running back, that allows a guy like Ritter to get better opportunities for your receivers than you normally would.
Right.
Especially with that offensive line. So actually, I might be saying like Ritter is a really fun upside. I don't know anything about him, but just given the scenario, like he's given all the things to succeed. That's kind of cool. Yeah. To move on here, who are all of these guys? Okay. I want you to do me a favor. Who are the running backs that are two things, okay? Mm-hmm. One are treated as the bell cow, does not have like, is not really in a massive competition for that spot, and has a quarterback that likely will not be your hero boy. Okay. You know, right? Sure. Like the offense is, you know, that would be inclined like Ritter to dump off a decent amount of time, right? Mm-hmm. Who would you say fits that? Because obviously Robinson does. I would think Christian McCaffrey would too, right?
Yes. Yep. Nick Chubb should be playing a lot larger role in the passing game this year than he has in past seasons. They had Kareem Hunt there for years.
Yeah.
He's now gone. And that was, I saw a study, I think it was Scott Barrett put it out. That in games from 2019 to present, in the games that Kareem Hunt was not there, no matter who stepped up and was next, Jerome Ford included, who's the next in line to fill that role, Chubb averaged almost 2 full points per game more in those games that Hunt missed. So I feel like he's going to get a ton of opportunity. His talent is not in question. He's one of the best pure runners in the game. He hasn't really been asked to do as much in the passing game, I think, that he will this year. So I think Chubb should get a lot more work. We talked about McCaffrey and Bijan Robinson. Saquon Barkley is still going to get a lot of work in the passing game, and he's going to be the bell cow. Now the Giants, he has his contract situation taken care of. Austin Ekeler, he should get most of the targets, all the targets almost, in Los Angeles for the Chargers, and should be their primary ball carrier as well. Tony Pollard is ready to the moon kind of a season with Zeke Elliott gone right now.
I saw that. Is he now on the Patriots? Patriots, I hate that I knew right. this. This is like the only pieces of news I knew. I knew that Aaron Rodgers was a Jet. Mm-hmm. I knew that Zeke went to the Patriots, and I knew that Lamar Jackson had his extension. These are the only things I knew. Yeah.
Well, Dalvin Cook is now a Jet too, which kind of brings Breece Hall down a little bit, which we'll talk about. Yeah.
Well, now, you got the whole Breece Hall thing, so that those two guys don't count, right?
Yeah. Well, they definitely cap each other's ceilings a little bit. So
sure,
Henry, as long as he's healthy, is going to be the bell cow. I don't know how much passing game work he's going to have.
And you said Derek Henry's a terrible offensive line.
Yeah, it's not good, but he's such an incredible tackle breaker that he may not get 4, 5, 6 yards of carry, but he may not get 5 or 6 yards of carry, but he's still going to get 4 and change and a ton of work, and obviously goal line work as well. So he's still going to be, he still have fantasy utility. I have him as running back 7, and that might be too low on some people's boards. Some people might be lower, but based on the age and the volume he had last year. Ramondre Stevenson, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, his stock's going to go down because Zeke Elliott's there now. Well, Zeke Elliott doesn't do passing and work anymore. He had 17 receptions last year. Meanwhile, Ramondre Stevenson had close to 70, had 69 catches last year on 88 targets. That's with Damian Harris there, who's now gone. So to me, Zeke kind of steps right into that Damian Harris role at this stage in his career. I don't see him stealing much in the way of anything except for some goal line work from Ramondre Stevenson. And Stevenson didn't really set the world on fire from a touchdown perspective last year. He was just highly productive from a yardage and passing game standpoint. So I'm still in on Ramondre Stevenson. Najee Harris, people are forgetting about Najee Harris. He's going to get work in the passing game. He played last year on a bad foot. And was still a running back, a top 12 running back. So I think he's kind of being slept on a little bit. And then, of course, Jonathan Taylor is in a really bad contract situation and was recently excused from the team for personal reasons. So hopefully he's okay. But there's a couple of reasons to for concern for Taylor. In a different world, in a different year, he might be in the top two or three, but he's slipping all the way down to the bottom end of this tier and the back end of the top 10. So he might be worth a pick in the fourth round or late third if he's still sitting there, just because of his immense upside. Yeah, but man. But it's just I'm with you. I'm kind of rather someone else take that load.
You know,
Josh Jacobs is another guy, but he had 390 touches. 393 touches actually last year, which is tops in the league. And I worry about that. I worry about the contract situation there. So I'm going to pass there. But we're getting kind of close to the end. The only other guys I can see. In that a little more of a stretch would be Joe Mixon and Miles Sanders. Mixon had some legal troubles. He was just found not guilty yesterday. Doesn't mean he's not out of the league's good graces or bad doghouse. He could still, you know, face disciplinary action if they believe there's enough there from a civil standpoint. So, but Miles Sanders is another one to watch. And that's kind of about it. After that, you're starting to get into timeshare guys who have utility, like your Aaron Joneses and your Jahmyr Gibbs, the rookie out of Detroit. But Travis Etienne is another one I'll throw in there. So those are all guys that will slip down, offer you great value as a running back too. But they're not guys that I really want to count on as a running back one.
I don't understand this. There's so many things here that just make no sense to me. And you're going to explain all of it, obviously, quickly, because we're already 42 minutes into this. As it's me, we're going to go a little bit long on this. DeAndre Swift is now the lead back for the Eagles. Is that correct?
We think.
Versus Rashad Penny, right?
Yes.
One of those two is going to be amazing for that team.
Here's the thing. One of those two could be amazing in week one. And another one could be amazing in week three, and it could alternate based on the opponent and how Nick Sirianni wants to deploy his weaponry.
But we've also seen this before with like two backs killing it both weeks, right? Sure. And if you talk about the Eagles offense, right, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Eagles offense is just insanely, you know, you have A.J. Brown, you've got Jalen Hurts, and you have the best offensive line. Like, I don't care. I'll take whichever one I can get. Right. Yeah. It sounds like it's Swift first. It was really obnoxious, by the way. I was Swift Never Misses was my team name last year, I think. amazing name. Thank you. Oh, God, you're so kind, Drew. And it was really frustrating because he was just not getting starts from the Lions for whatever reason. Like he was over. I don't know what that was. Is that cleared up now?
He missed a couple of games for starters, number one. And number two, I think they worked. They had Jamal Williams last year played a big role in the red zone and a lot of short yardage work as well. Williams is now gone, and he's now a member of the Saints. But they brought in David Montgomery to reprise that same role for the Lions. So Swift, I think, they've used him more as a kind of a complimentary back, kind of a 1A and a 1B situation there. And a lot of people are feeling that same storm is brewing in Philadelphia with him and Rashad Penny, both there at the same time. I think Penny will have more. Sorry.
It's the Eagles.
Yeah, they'll have more. Yeah, they do. And they've in recent years, they've rotated their running back work a lot, except for last year when Miles Sanders finally was used as a primary ball carrier. So that was maddening to you watch the year before when you were watching people like Gainwell and everyone else get those carries. So I understand the go get Rashad Penny at ADP that a lot of the industry experts are saying, and I don't disagree with that. But if I want a guy of those two, I think Swift is going to end up with more fantasy points, which is ultimately what you want. So
I'm going to get both of them. I'm going to tell you. I mean, I know it sounds absolutely nuts. It's like, Nick, they are 40 and 51. If I am like at the, I don't know, 4-5 turn or something like that, that means, right? And I have them, I'm just taking both. I know you wouldn't. Well, why not?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think 4-5 is too early for either of those guys, number one. If you're going to do that, I would go.
Averages. So 61 and I see average on the right. That's not what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. You're like sixth round first.
Penny's at 97. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
So I mean, I would just, if I want, I can maybe do 6-7 if I wanted to, and then Penny maybe at 8 or something like that. But my point of the matter here is, I'm sorry. I was just saying, like, just get both of them. And I think you're going to get like at least one stud out of this, is my view.
You would hope.
I know it sounds crazy. I'm the guy coming in, but telling you what it is, whatever. I understand. Trust me. I'm putting my foot down
and saying, no, both DeAndre Swift and Rashad Penny are both going to exceed their ADP. That is my point. That's what I'm going to say. Both of them are going to have successful seasons for Philadelphia. And at the very minimum, one of them is going to be clearly better than the other. And if you tell me that I can secure essentially an RB top 10 with those picks in the sixth or the, you know, sixth, seventh or eighth round or whatever, I'm going to secure that and figure out the empty spot that I just missed. That's how I'm all about consolidating as much as I can in my fantasy drafts, as opposed to even spreading it.
Sure.
So that's how I see it.
I mean, it's a little spicy, but I don't hate it because there's precedent for it. And the New Orleans Saints had Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, both as running back ones, top 12 running backs in the same year. So can it happen? Sure. And do they have the best offensive line in football? Sure. The only difference is that you have Jalen Hurts running a lot as well. And I don't know that there's going to be quite as many carries up for grabs totally there as there would before. So that's why I'm a little bit bearish, I guess, sense on the upside comparatively. Yeah. But I believe in the talent of both players. And I believe that they also kind of held each other down a little bit. If anything happens to one or the other, which, let's be real, they both had injury issues in the past, then either one of those guys can be a running back one in any given week. So
third?
When they're both healthy, it's hard.
All right. I want to put my foot down somewhere. That's probably where I'm going to do it there. I mean, all the other ones here that I'm seeing, because I mean, these are aggressive overall. We're talking like inside the top. I'm seeing our overall here, inside the top 50. We have also Gibbs with the Lions. You mentioned someone else, not Gibbs, coming in, I think, with Detroit.
We have David Montgomery also.
Do you like more there? Because I'm seeing Gibbs is 34th ADP and 79 with David Montgomery.
Yeah, in PPR, Gibbs is probably going to be the one that has the most utility because he's going to be a major part of that passing game, especially with Jameson Williams yet again doing stupid things. He lost six games because of his suspension. Well, I guess that's not really fair to call it stupid. He also has a hamstring injury now. But he just can't get out of his own way, bottom line. So there's going to be opportunity for him. And we have Amon Ross St. Brown there. But other than that, I think that you're going to see Gibbs play a major role. He was also an early first round draft pick as well, which is a major surprise. People were wondering if he'd go at the back end of the first, and the Lions said, no, he's our guy. We're going to take him now in the early part of the first. And so that was a surprise to a lot of people. And then the very next day they traded DeAndre Swift to the Eagles. So yeah, Gibbs is somebody that I want in PPR. But if I'm in a standard league or a half point PPR, then I think Montgomery becomes the better value there at ADP.
Okay. So then you have, Antonin with the Jaguars, who's super, I mean, he's the guy there, right? It's no one else competing with
Etienne, him. Travis Etienne. Yeah. I like Travis Etienne a lot. Yep.
Yeah. Right.
So cool. So there's a lot of people that think that Tank Bigsby, who was just drafted this year, is going to be a threat to his role. We talk about Najee Harris came back with a foot injury and was a running back one. Travis Etienne came off of a major injury as well. That was his first year. He missed an entire year plus and was quite efficient last year. And that line was not that great. So he's a legitimate talent, super talent. I think he could outperform for ADP for sure.
Yeah. Then Kenneth Walker is taking over for Penny, I assume, in Seattle.
Well, Walker was there. Penny, I think his role is going to be filled by Zach Charbonnet, who you'll get to a little bit later, the Michigan transfer who went to UCLA. But Walker still has a role. He had a groin injury over the summer. He's on track to be 100% for week one. But I'm definitely concerned by the presence of Charbonnet, they spent day two draft capital on him. So I fear a kind of a running back by committee developing there as well. So you're going to see a lot of that at the running back position, which at the top, you were talking more about running backs and who's the bell cow. To me, those guys are more valuable now than ever before because there's fewer of them. So Walker was on the path to be one until the NFL draft when they took Charbonnet.
Okay. And Damian Pierce, I remember a lot of hype about him last year, and he kind of came through maybe in the second half, if I remember correctly. What's it look like with him now?
Yeah, Pierce started off fairly strong. He actually hit a rookie wall. I think he might have picked it back up towards the end there. Now, one of the things about him, though, is he's also a volume guy, and his biggest threat to touches last year was Rex Burkhead, who I don't even think he's in the league anymore. So now they went and got Devin Singletary, who averaged over 200 touches per year for the Bills. he's a major upgrade over Rex Burkhead. So he's not a world beater, but he's a legitimate NFL running back. He led the Bills in rush and targets each of his 4 years in Buffalo. So he's probably going to chip away at that passing utility that Pierce has, which isn't that great to begin with. So I do worry about Pierce's upside. I think he's a solid play in half point PPR, maybe as a running back too. But I think we might be expecting a little bit too much from him this year.
And what's the situation with Kansas City? Because you mentioned among all the other good offensive lines, you say, well, KC's got it. And we all know that Mahomes will pass to anyone, really.
Yeah.
What's that situation?
Well, the running back situation in Kansas City is complicated. So we have the ageless Jet McKinnon, right? The ageless Jet McKinnon, I think, had 9 touchdown catches last year, which is one among, if not tops on the team. And then Isaiah Pacheco was a 7th-round rookie from Rutgers last year and ended up being the leading rusher on the team. And he's trying to be the first running back in Kansas City to go back-to-back as the rushing leader since Kareem Hunt did it 5 years ago. So they've had a different leading rusher every year for the last 5 years. So that doesn't really bode well from a trend standpoint for Pacheco. And also working against him is he had 2 off-season surgeries, one on his thumb that has healed very nicely, and another on his shoulder that's still kind of limiting him a little bit. So he should be good to go by, you know, the early point in the season here. But I don't know that blindly putting faith in him as the answer is the way to go. Like, they could sign someone. They have a rookie they like in Deneric Prince, who could come up and potentially play a role just as he did himself last year. So it's kind of complicated. It's one to watch because it's a blue chip offense and you want a piece of it where you can. But for where he's going, though, Pacheco in the late 20s, early 30s, he's not a bad dice roll at that point in the draft.
Sure. Man, I mean, first of all, is there any running back that has not gotten hurt? No. So it's just wild. I mean, I'm looking at these other ones and I'm really trying to, I think there's, you know, we can't go over everybody. I'm just like really curious as I keep going through. But I guess what would help right now, there are 2 things I'm very curious about. One, who is the handcuff that you're targeting that is pretty much not necessarily like, oh, I think you'll get the opportunity. It's more of has the best upside if given an opportunity.
Okay. Well, that's a good question. So I think in Chicago, I think Khalil Herbert is kind of been looked at by the industry in general as the favorite to be the lead back in Chicago. He's kind of the incumbent there, if you will. They signed Dante Foreman from the Panthers to come in, who I guess took over that role for them when Christian McCaffrey was traded. But they drafted Roschon Johnson out of Texas, and he was actually the backup to Bijan Robinson, but he was extremely effective and efficient in his own right. So a lot of us forget that Miles Sanders, who is, we know right now, we talk to him as a fringe RB1 in the NFL right now. He was Saquon Barkley's backup at Penn State. So there's precedent here too. He's that good. He breaks tackles like a champ. He's actually the best graded pass protector in this entire draft as well, which is something that typically keeps rookie running backs off the field. Johnson does that well. So I think if he gets an opportunity, he's not going to look back. It's going to be his gig. So Roschon Johnson for the Bears is definitely one. Another guy I'm looking at is Tajay Spears from Tennessee. He's looked great in the preseason. We talked about Derrick Henry.
Line is too bad.
Yeah, it is bad.
I want nothing to do with that.
Yeah, but it's not Rams and Cardinals bad, but it's definitely a concern. I think he's probably one to watch. He's not somebody I'm going to draft necessarily, but he's somebody that I'm going to keep my eye on the waiver wire. And if anything at all happens to Henry, he's going to be a priority add for me. So those are 2 to come off the bat. And of course, Zamir White right now in Vegas he has an opportunity potentially if something doesn't develop here with Josh Jacobs from a contract standpoint, he could find himself in a lead back role sooner than we realize. And the only other one I would throw out there for you would be Joshua Kelly from the Chargers. If something happens to Austin Eckler, he should step into a meaningful role and a very powerful offense.
Awesome. All right. Those are great, great calls there. You got me on the Zamir White. I've never heard of him. You said obviously. I'm like, yeah, of course, obviously. You know that. If you're saying there's any sort of contract thing, that's very interesting. And also, Eckler, if I dealt with that in the past, I know what his injuries are like, and that can be very frustrating. And you never know. So I think it's really important to go after those kind of guys a little bit and try and. I always go for this when I say, look, like you have your lineup the first week or two already set, so might as well try and predict who those waiver guys are going to be.
Yeah, and if you're in a super deep league, another one to look at is an undrafted free agent rookie from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Sean Tucker, who the only reason he was not drafted is because he had medical red flags out the wazoo. So he was predicted as a day two pick, and then he had some cardiac issues. He's since been cleared to play, I think he could have an opportunity in Tampa Bay. So Rashad White is okay at best, really. I think Tucker is a better all-around back. Definitely a more powerful rusher than he is. So I could see him carving out a role for himself sooner rather than later.
Cool. And when it comes to the Dolphins, is Mostert the guy?
Mostert or Jeff Wilson Jr. Right now, as things stand, will probably be the guy. I'm not ruling out them signing or bringing somebody in like a Kareem Hunt or a Leonard Fournette or somebody like that. But right now, it looks like Mostert and Wilson, I think, are probably the two. But there's also the rookie Devin Achane from Texas A&M. He is small in stature, but man, he is quick. So he runs like a 4.3 and change. He's super fast. He's explosive with the ball in his hand. I don't see him as a high volume person who's going to carry the load, but he's more of a DFS, I think, kind of a guy who he might get you 10 touches. He might get you, 90 yards and a touchdown, for a very small price. But he's definitely someone to watch. Devin Achane too, the rookie out of Texas A&M. But really, it's hard because I think that can go either way. So Mostert is, I guess, the consensus as to who's probably going to be there. But I think Mostert probably got a little more run because Jeff Wilson ended up getting hurt. He was, I think, just as if not more effective in that role last year for the Dolphins.
So this might be the first year that I've seen this. The wide receiver is the 1-1. What is this? What is going? Justin Jefferson, I know I had a great season last year. I don't even remember who you told me the quarterback was for the Vikings. I just kind of was like, whatever. Is that Kurt Russell then? Not Kurt Russell. Yeah.
He was great in Tombstone, right?
Yeah. But yeah, it's Kirk Cousins. That's only all the value to Kirk Cousins is just that. I mean, outside of Justin Jefferson, is there another? Well, who's the wide receiver two there?
In Minnesota?
Yeah.
I guess the rookie Jordan Addison right now has a concussion. Seems to be pretty mild, so we're expecting him back week one. But that's not a good omen to get a concussion right off the bat. But no, he's very talented.
Like, concussions are serious. Those are not good. Okay, I'm sorry.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Yes, I'm with you. But obviously they're going to be taking it slow with him. He's a first-round draft pick. He's super talented from USC. Assuming he gets a clean bill of health and he's good to go, he'll probably be there running back.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Justin Jefferson, obviously threat number one with the Vikings. Their running back isn't someone special, right?
Well, they had Dalvin Cook, and now it's Alexander Madison. So Madison inherits that Dalvin Cook role.
Is he like the bell cow now, Madison?
Ish. Yeah, he should be. Okay. So I think he's going a little bit too low, actually, as a result.
Yeah, I might be really in on this because I think Jefferson is going to be doubled. You're saying that the wide receiver two is in question, so he's not really reliable. Mm-hmm. Madison has experience with it. Cousin is not this, I'm going to do it all myself and not going to run, going to dump it off a lot.
They have T.J. Hockenson there too, which is good. So there's that.
That's tight end?
Tight end. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, don't. That helps. Is he going to be in on the Vikings now?
They're a good offense. They're definitely an offense.
You're a good offense. I'm sorry. Where is Madison going? He's going as a 56. Yeah. All right. Circle Madison for me. He's in that one. Okay, so Justin Jefferson, you're like 1-1. That's where he's going every time. Should I actually be taking 1-1 Justin Jefferson, or should I be taking Kelsey?
For me, it's Jefferson. If it's tight end premium, I want Kelsey. I don't have any problems at all.
Think of a normal
Kelsey
12,
there.
You know.
Normal 12 team, yeah. Then I want PPR Jefferson. Yeah, well, because he's a target hog, and he's really, really, really good. So he's as dependable as a pick as you can get. Christian McCaffrey is another guy I might consider. And if you really want to go a little outside the box, you could, throw a dart at Jamar Chase as well. Also a wide receiver, but I think those are kind of,
throw a dart at overall number three.
I'm going to go through the
top level of this quickly, of like Jefferson and Chase and Kupp. I'm not going to touch Kupp because you talked about also that terrible offensive line. I know he's going to be the quick out of the slot, pass, maybe. But you're talking about Stafford and stuff. And like, they're going to be these really frustrating days. It has to be. I tell you, Kale, don't like him as a human, but all right, I understand that. I'd rather just go for Waddle, I guess, at 24 than and Hill at 6. That's just me. Diggs, okay. CeeDee Lamb, yeah, I get it. AJ Brown, I'd rather just have AJ Brown.
Well, I love AJ Brown. Well,
I mean, just kind of looking at all of this, Amon Ross, St. Brown, I actually went after him last year because I was really in on the Lions situation. It was kind of frustrating because there were these games he was just so good and then he would just not be there, or he would, it was kind of strange. I don't know if I really want to go after that again. Who is the QB at Detroit?
Goff. Goff. Yeah. So he's not going to hurt you. He stays steady enough. So it's not like a situation where you're worried about, you know, is this guy going to be the starter? So we gave Desmond Ridder some reason for optimism, but there's still a lot of question marks in Atlanta. I feel a lot better about Goff than I do about Ridder as far as being able to support, a number one wide receiver. So I feel a lot better about Amon-Ra St. Brown going as a top 10 wide receiver than I do Drake London going where he is, even though I don't dislike the player with talent.
Drake London yet. I don't take people with city names. Sorry, Boston Scott. All right. Now, you have Garrett Wilson here too. My understanding of Aaron Rodgers is that it's probably going to be worse. He also spreads the ball around more. And I know Garrett Wilson had this good season last year, kind of out of nowhere. I would much rather go for Waddle. I don't really see why Wilson should be drafted over Waddle.
Well, I like Garrett Wilson a lot. He had a breakout as a rookie last year from Ohio State. And he did that with Zach Wilson and Mike White and Joe Flacco as his quarterbacks. And now you're bringing, so Aaron Rodgers to me is a major upgrade over what that quarterback situation was last year. Gone is Elijah Moore, who really wasn't really much of a significant factor last year anyway. So I think things are set up well. And we've seen Aaron Rodgers before kind of hone in on a favorite receiver. We haven't talked about him yet, but Davante Adams, who should be a top 10 wide receiver as well, was that guy for him in Green Bay for many, many years. So I think Garrett Wilson is going to step right into that role. He should be quite productive. He has a low ankle sprain right now. Those don't tend to linger like high ankle sprains. He should be fine for week one. I have no problems.
I'm not actually in any way happy that they are. It's just, good luck dodging everything, everyone.
It's interesting.
I know I'm just being silly. I have no data about it and all that kind of stuff. My instincts are, well, Garrett Wilson did well because he had these young quarterbacks who literally they were just going to throw it to their best guy and they can't make anyone else work. While Rodgers, hopefully, if you're saying he's an upgrade, can actually spread the ball and not just take those chances on Garrett Wilson that I would imagine the young guys would. That's where my head goes. Probably the wrong take.
I mean, it's a fair concern. He did bring over Alan Lazard from Green Bay. So he's got his old buddy there as a kind of a fallback. But yeah, I think Wilson is primed to be the wide receiver one in this situation. I think that Lazard's kind of going to be more like kind of like what Randall Cobb was for him, kind of like a third down security blanket in case you can't find Wilson. So but I think Wilson's going to be fine.
Sure. Okay, so keeping on here, you have Devontae Smith, I understand. I mean, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, I get it. T. Higgins has always been like this. He's always been around, but like I guess this is good now because Burrow's good now. Okay, D.K. Metcalf, we all know how stupid amazing he is, but some days they just don't throw it to him. And it's like, okay, bye-bye. Deebo Samuel, isn't he like the greatest thing ever?
Well, Deebo Samuel had a phenomenal year. I think it was 2 years ago. And then as soon as Christian McCaffrey came over, his role was very much muted in the offense.
Oh, I completely forgot. I forgot. Yeah, I thought McCaffrey is still in the Panthers. Oh my gosh.
No, yeah, he's back. He's there now. And of course, Brandon Ayuk has broken out as well. So, and we have Kittle there. So we don't really know necessarily. You talk about Rodgers spread the ball around. I think that Brock Purdy is going to be doing that in San Francisco. And I think that Deebo is going to, I think he's going a little bit too high still as a result of that. I'm not out on Deebo. I'm just out on his ADP.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I get that. Calvin Ridley, is he okay? I remember he had to leave and is he doing all right?
Yeah, he left. He stepped away for some, to take care of mental health things. Yeah. And then while he was away, I guess I got, was doing some betting, I guess, and got popped for that and was banned for a year. And as you know, the league is now cracking down on that. So he missed basically 2 years
too after that.
Yeah. So, but he's back now. He's learned his lessons about the gambling stuff. He seems to be in much better spirits mentally and emotionally. Physically, he looks great. He played on a broken foot, I guess, his last year in the league, which was like 2 years ago. And he was still decent. But now he's, if you look at the camp footage of him running all the drills and things like that, those ladder drills where they're, you know, moving their feet at insane speeds that you and I could never dream of. He's killing it on those. He looks great coming in out of breaks. So he certainly looks back physically. And we like we said, we believe in the Jaguars offense and Trevor Lawrence. Now you have him, this super top five ceiling player stepping into a potential role where he could really be something. So there's I think the uncertainty is kind of driving down his price. But if he slips to where he's going in ADP, I am all over him because of the upside that he has.
I mean, I would actually be going after Christian Kirk personally.
I like him too.
Yeah. 74. Everything I keep hearing about Trevor Lawrence. Also, you're saying he runs, but doesn't run quite like the other guys. Is that right, Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah. So he'll get you like 400 yards. So he'll give you something. He'll chip in a few extra points that like most quarterbacks don't.
Almost, you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he won't run as much as Jones and Fields and those guys, but he'll definitely give you something.
Who's the running back again with Jacksonville?
Travis Etienne.
Oh yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. I think Kirk is actually going to be the one to get here. I'm just being ridiculous, but with Ridley, I hope he's doing great. I hope everything's all right. A lot of times in baseball, a lot of the stuff you hear, you see like the comeback story and stuff, and it pushes it up. While Kirk, correct me if I'm wrong, has just been kind of this consistent, really good target for multiple teams over the years. I mean, it was the final before. Lawrence is going to be relying on him a ton.
Kirk's going to play in the slot this year. So Ridley's going to play on the outside along opposite of Zay Jones. So those two are going to be starting pretty close to 100% of the snaps. So Kirk's going to come out, and whenever there's, you know, a two receiver package, Kirk will come off the field, but he'll be on that for most of it. So they're probably going to run three receiver sets, probably more than any other package, I would think. So they're not a team that runs a lot of two tight end sets or anything like that. So I would imagine that Kirk's snap share is going to be pretty high. And as you mentioned, he did have a pretty good rapport last year with Lawrence, and he's been a steady contributor. So I don't hate Kirk. I think both of these guys are good values at ADP. You talk about taking two running backs from the Eagles. I might think about taking two receivers from the Jaguars here.
Yeah, no, I get that completely. Mm-hmm. That's just what we're going to do. I'm going to call the twin team. The buddies. I'm just kind of going through it loosely here. There's certain teams I think I'm just kind of avoiding, which I know I shouldn't, but I just, the Chargers, I understand of Herbert, maybe I should be more in on this. Is it just me or like the Chargers just like the offensive line it's fine, right? Is Herbert fine? You know, Keenan Allen has kind of been a guy I've seen over the years who can show up for a day and then disappears again, but maybe I'm being dumb about this. Obviously I am. Mike Williams, I feel like, can I really trust that? It just doesn't seem so exciting to me. So I'm not really personally going after them. I'm just going to do what I did before. There's so many guys, and I would be here for like, I've done it before with like 3 hours with Eric. Not going to do that to you, Drew. So when it comes to these wide receivers, who is it that is fighting to be that wide receiver three, wide receiver two? Who, again, like with the running back situation, it's more about once they get an opportunity. It's not about if they will. It's about if they do get it, right? Not ranking it based on the likelihood of them getting it. It's more about their potential if they do get it. Who would those guys be for wide receiver?
Okay, so we're starting within the Chargers and then going beyond, kind of, is that what we're doing here?
Oh,
so
Chargers, you want. Yeah,
sure. So I think your takes on Allen and Williams are kind of spot on. Both of them could be productive.
Oh my gosh!
Both of them are they're both productive, but they're also both injury prone. And now Allen's what, 31 years old now, so that's when we start to see some of these things kind of happening for receivers and starting to break down a little bit, or at least lose a step. And he hasn't had a whole lot of seasons in recent years where he's been fully healthy for an entire 16 or 17 games. Mike Williams, same thing. He's injury prone. They drafted a rookie in Quentin Johnson in the first round. So he's going to find a way to work in. So I think these guys are okay where they're going. But if you're looking at for players or for receivers who are kind of a little bit further down, who's going to pop? I mean, Christian Watson, I think, has the potential to finish as a receiver one. He should be the receiver one in Green Bay. A lot of people are sleeping on Tyler Lockett. They drafted a rookie in Jackson Smith and Jigba, who was phenomenally talented, Ohio State product also. But Tyler Lockett's not going anywhere. He's been as steady as they come, and I still feel like he's going to get he'll get his. I think a great opportunity here for somebody who's kind of that wide receiver two who could perform at a higher level is Chris Godwin. He came back from an ACL injury last year and was decent. And at age 26, you're now in that one, you're now a full year removed from it. I think he could go back to being that top quality receiver that we've always seen, even with Baker Mayfield at quarterback. But Godwin is that good of a
Baker
player.
Baker Mayfield so. Now in Tampa Bay.
Yeah. But you know what, though? I will say this about Baker. I don't want to be a fanboy of Baker Mayfield or anything. But, you know, he led the Browns to their first playoff win in, what, 22 decades? And then played with a bad shoulder the following season and was basically run out of town. Went to Carolina, where they had an absolute disaster there with Matt Rhule running the team. He was canned, I guess, in the same season that Baker was sent packing. Then he goes to the Rams and steps in for Matt Stafford, and actually with very little prep was very, very palatable in his play, and surprised a lot of people. So now he has an opportunity here to step into a situation. The locker room reports have been pretty positive from his teammates. He's got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin to throw to. So I'm not advocating taking Baker Mayfield, but I think that Baker Mayfield is going to be decent enough where I don't have to fade Chris Godwin is kind of the takeaway here.
You. So I love that. That's a lot of fun.
Jerry Jeudy is one to keep an eye on potentially. And of course my homeboy, Jahan Dotson. I'm a big, big fan of Jahan Dotson. So he's going super late in drafts. And I think he could finish as a top 24 wide receiver and absolutely smash his draft capital. George Pickens is another guy down there from Pittsburgh who I like, who also has that upper echelon talent who could definitely take a step in year two. So those are two guys that I think in the latter part of the middle rounds, early part of the late rounds that I want on my team, George Pickens and Jahan Dotson.
Nice. And last question I have there about wide receivers is with Kansas City, there's always somebody that's just like, okay, there's a guy. Or maybe not. Maybe it's just like Mahomes is like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just going to throw to Kelce the entire time. Who is it this year that is leading the pack?
Well, if you would have asked me this question about a month ago, we would have said Kadarius Toney. However, the wheels are falling off the Kadarius Toney wagon, just like they tend to always do, unfortunately. Sky Moore, I think, has kind of looked good in camp. Mm-hmm. There's a name that's getting some buzz. And don't sleep on Justin Ross, who is we talked about an undrafted free agent before. He was taken last year as an undrafted free agent. When he was at Clemson as a freshman, he had an impressive breakout that was on par with your Sammy Watkins and some of the best freshman receiving seasons we've seen from any Clemson Tiger ever. And then, of course, he had the neck injury and he had foot injuries. And he's just going to continue to battle through and beating the odds. And he's been medically cleared to play. He's been turning heads in practice. He caught a touchdown in the preseason game a few days ago. So he's a player that interests me because he's going to cost you nothing. He might even be drafted in your league, but I can definitely see a path where he ascends to fantasy relevance out of nowhere. So I think Sky Moore is, if I had to put a chip on any player right now in Kansas City at ADP, he's the guy that I want. Nice. But I'm definitely keeping eyes on Justin Ross for sure.
All right. So just to quickly go back to tight end just for a second here. Now with all that information about offensive lines, the QBs involved, the wide receivers and running backs, I got to get to Kelce. I don't care. I mean, it really does seem like the other tight ends that we've been talking about, like everyone kind of has the, you know, Kansas City does not have that wide receiver. It's clearly going to be Kelce again. I really just don't understand why he's not 1-1. That's just me. So if I'm early in my drafts, I'm getting Kelce. That's just how it is. And then with Baltimore, I mean, who are the Baltimore receivers for Lamar Jackson right now that we should be like, or is there anyone that we're really excited about there?
Well, the rookie Zay Flowers has really been impressive. They were very high on him. They took him in the first round. Rashad Bateman's coming back from injury. So if he's fully healthy, he's of interest to me. So those are two guys that are going pretty late, I guess, in the middle parts of your rounds. that are people that if you believe in that offense and you believe in Lamar Jackson, and one of those two guys is going to step up. Now, again, we do have Mark Andrews there.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm not getting Kelsey, I'm getting Mark Andrews. I have to do that. Because to me, that just is like, why wouldn't he's going to be the number one passing option. Am I wrong about that?
He should be. He should be the number one target in that offense. So that's why he's two.
Yeah. And like, but so I see 30th overall though. And you know, if we're talking like the sixth one is like 60th overall and the 10th is 92nd. And like, if you compare the 92nd value to, I mean, it to me, it's just get those points, guys. That's like locked in. You get points there instead of dealing with it the entire year. That's just how I am. That's my, I'm going to say probably Mark Andrews is the one I'm going to have the most, which is two leagues. But, you know, if I can't get Kelsey as 1-1, then if he's taken before whatever my draft pick is, then it's going to be Mark Andrews, and that's just how it is. I hate to do this. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I think it's, it's Andrew, Kelsey or bust, and or with the exception of Andrews. And after that, you're waiting and seeing what falls to you.
Pretty much. Yeah. Kickers. How much better are these guys, Justin Tucker, Daniel Carlson, than everyone else? Evan McPherson.
Okay, well, Daniel Carlson, I don't have a whole lot of interest in. There's some volatility from year to year with kickers, and the Raiders are not an interest that, and not an offense that interests me. So he's a good kicker, but I don't really believe in the offense necessarily enough to generate points, if that makes sense. So I'm usually a person that waits and takes whatever kicker's left over. So. Yep.
Understood. So you don't think this is a year also where it's like, no, you just get Justin Tucker two rounds before as opposed to one or something?
No, I'd rather take a shot on some of the guys we were talking about before in the last round or two. I want a shot on Sean Tucker. I want to put a chip on Justin Ross in the 17th, 18th round. I want to see if those guys can pan out. And if they don't, so what? I can cut them and pick up my kicker kind of a thing.
And as far as defenses go, there's two ways I look at defenses. One is obviously just tell me like, who do you think legitimately is the best defense? And that's just, is there a team that's just so obviously, the best defense. And then I say, okay, who's the worst defense? I need to know this just for the sake of a context of like how, which teams are going to suck. And I need to know that, just so I can help like, okay, are you going to be taking deep shots or what kind of situations you're going to be in with game flow for the other guys? And the third is, opening 3 weeks, who are the teams that are facing the worst teams offensively? And, you know, you might be able to find some gold out of nowhere where not only is this like productive the first 3 weeks, but also they actually wait. Maybe there are maybe a good defense that I hold on to past that. So we'll start with the first one. Who is by far the best defense?
Well, I would say the two teams that play in the NFC Championship game last year, the 49ers and Eagles, to me, have the best defenses. So the Niners actually got one of the Eagles defensive tackles, Javon Hargrave, who had over 10 sacks last year. They added him to the mix. Eagles brought pretty much everybody else back. They added Jalen Carter in the draft, who you could have made an argument for taking him in the top three, all things equal. Oh, wow. He had some issues going there in Georgia with the car accident and the tragic passing of his teammate. So he was kind of mired in some of that kind of stuff. But adding him plus Nolan Smith, you have two first round players that the Eagles added to the defensive side of the ball. So you already had a team that was on pace to set or equal one of the single season sack record by a team. So if your league rewards sacks, then the Eagles should be of interest to you. So those to me are probably your top two defenses. The Dallas Cowboys have a very good defense. Buffalo Bills, Patriots, those are also teams that you should be looking at as well. So, excuse me. So those are the teams, I guess, if I'm taking a defense, you know, a round or two earlier, those are probably ones that I would look at. So I usually kind of wait and see what the board gives me. So and where I draft in the Philadelphia area, there's zero chance that I'm going to end up with the Eagles defense, but I might have to be stuck with the Cowboys or something like that. But that's fine. You know, you overcome your biases. That's kind of a thing too. So if you have people in your league that you know are going to take, you know, their favorite players, let them, and then you just take the value that they don't. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. So as far as opening schedules for defenses, it's really hard to say just because so many teams are better or worse, if you will, than they were last year. And we only really have 2022 data to go by, since we don't have anything yet. So I guess Baltimore and Denver they're probably the two that interest me, that have reasonably decent defenses and relatively soft schedules off the bat. So, and those are two defenses that you can probably get a lot later, because no one's going to step up and say, I want the Ravens defense in the middle of your draft, unless they're, of course, a Ravens fan. So, and, but there's...
Yeah. What teams would you say are just going to be like the bottom of the barrel ones? Like, is it going to be the Arizona Cardinals? Is it going to be the Texans? Like, who's going to be in here?
Yeah, I think those are two excellent choices. I'm not going to argue with either one of them. So, and I watched Jonathan Gannon have an insane amount of talent in that Super Bowl and just come up flat. It was just disappointing. And I feel for the Cardinals fans to kind of endure what some of the maddening moments that we had as Eagles fans with Gannon. He's now their head coach. So they're going to have his system in place with a shadow of the talent to put it in to implement it. So I definitely feel for Cardinals fans for what's about to come for them on both sides of the ball.
Gotcha. Okay. And anyone else that's just kind of like, yeah, we don't really expect this team to be competitive at all in 2023.
In general, I think that NFC West, sticking with that, I worry about Stafford and I worry about the Rams. Mm-hmm. But I think the 49ers are good, are super, super good. I think the Seahawks are great. And then there's just a have and have nots in that division. So off the top of my head, those are two teams that I the Cardinals and to a lesser extent, the Rams are two that I kind of fear for. So I guess the Raiders, I worry a little bit about them. Potentially as well, the Texans for sure. Buccaneers, if they could be really bad this year. There are saving graces; they play in a weak division, so I think they can stumble into some wins, but probably enough to keep them from getting a Caleb Williams or something like that in the draft. But yeah, I worry. I think if I had to pick a team for who's going to finish dead last in the league, it's probably going to be the Arizona Cardinals.
All right, there you go. So last thing, we only got a couple minutes left here, is here I am. I have the first pick, or I have like the seventh pick, or I have like the 12th pick, right? In general, how would you say that I'm saying I'm going to take Kelce 1-1 or something like that. But let's just say that's just me. In your opinion, how have you seen those teams get constructed? Right. At the end of the turn, I just did a quick look of a lot of wide receivers in the end of the first round. Right. There, it's a less of an emphasis of running backs earlier on. It's more of a wide receiver one. Is there any shift that you're really seeing about, okay, this is where, this is how it flows for me? For example, in the baseball world, it means I can get like a first baseman, second baseman, shortstop that I like if I'm at the end of it, but those guys aren't going to be around back there. So then I have to get this shortstop in the seventh round, usually if it's the first four picks or so, right? Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of equivalent for that for football where you should be ready if, I'm the 12th pick, that means I'm generally going to have these options that I really like at this point, thus I should be getting this kind of position at a different time?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are hesitant to take Kelce early in the first round because of the build issues that it could give you coming all the way back to the end of the second, early third. Mm-hmm. He does tend to go in the latter part of that draft at that 1-2 turn a lot. So maybe you have to correct me if I'm wrong because it's been a minute, but I remember catcher being a position in fantasy baseball where if you didn't get a great one, then you just wait, kind of a thing.
Yeah, it depends on the guys. I mean, this year was actually a very interesting one. There were definitely like three tiers of it. But there is that middle one that's like, okay, you know what? These are going to be really good and have some potential. For example, for me, that was Sean Murphy in like the 10th round. I was like, yeah, that's what's up. And it doesn't feel like that's the way with tight end. It really does just feel like there's three or so or something like that. Maybe some Pitts in there, fine. But like once the only like six or five teams are going to be okay with their tight end and everyone else is just, sorry, buddy, you're done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty fair analysis there. I think if you're looking at strategy stuff, but build stuff based on where you're picking. So you're late, you're 9 to 12, you're at the tail end. I think there's some good running back and receiver value there. Running backs are actually going a little higher than they were last year. Receivers were all the rage. People are going crazy for zero running back, but I think people are kind of getting wise to the fact, like we've mentioned earlier, there's only so many legitimate bell cow backs there, and there's some that offer some real utility in the passing game. So I want at least one, if not two, stud running backs in the first three rounds if I can help it. I like getting a stud receiver, two stud running backs, and then kind of seeing what's there. Is Mark Andrews still there in the early fourth? And for some reason, I'll take him. Then maybe I might consider, you know, one of your top three quarterbacks. But I'm probably looking at seeing what other values there. Ramondre Stevenson's drought is dropping back into the fourth round because people are scared by Ezekiel Elliott. I'm not. I might grab him there. So I think a lot of it is the value letting the value kind of dictate where you're going. I think in the early rounds, you mentioned this kind of early on, you're kind of locked in to Justin Jefferson or maybe CMC. And I know you like Kelsey there too. But you're getting, you know, one of those kinds of players. You're getting one of the best players in football there. Jamar Chase is another one we can throw in there. But I kind of feel like there's a handful of really strong elite receivers too. So to me, there's a good mix. And I think you can leave the third round. For me, if I leave the third round with at least one stud receiver, like a top five to six receiver, and Diggs for me is one of those guys that's falling that I think has every ability to finish as the overall wide receiver one with Josh Allen throwing him passes and a lot of question marks as to who the secondary option is going to be. So I think he's a guy that I'm looking at. I think you can get him in the latter part of your first round and be thrilled with that. And then take a running back on the way back because you're going to find value there. Nick Chubb is going in now finally in the latter part of the first round to early second. So he's a guy that interests me. So I think really, to me, the key is not falling in love with a particular player going in and just being fluid with what the board offers you. And to me, that starts with having solid tiers in your rankings and knowing, okay, these are like players. I want somebody in this tier. I want a wide receiver in this tier. I want a running back in this tier. And that's kind of where I'm picking from and letting that kind of be my guide and being water and just give me what my league mates want to give me.
So. With all that said, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to tell you to finish off this podcast because Drew has been so incredible and helped me navigate all of this, is actually do a draft where I'm selecting my guy and my one guy that I want for my ideal draft for all this incredible information I've just been given by Drew DeLuca. Okay, and I'm going to assume I'm inside the top five picks. So first pick, what do you know? I'm going to have Travis Kelce. Second round, and here I come back. I'm actually going to go wide receiver, and I'm going to go Jalen Waddle. As it comes back around third round, I'm going to go for Travis Etienne Jr. right? And then it comes back around. I get 14 picks. Around here, it looks like I could get Justin Fields, and I'm going to go and do that because I feel good about that one. I feel as a running QB. You know what? Actually, you know what? I want Tua later. Not going to do that. Okay. I'm instead going to go after probably another wide receiver. And I'm going to go with... I didn't like anything that you said about these guys, though. No. Those were all bad things. I want to go... Oh, man, this stinks. The fourth round stinks. I hate this.
I like it.
I'm probably going to reach for somebody.
So who do you got? Who do you got?
Yeah, I know. Okay. You said nice things about Jerry Jeudy. I don't believe it.
But too early for me.
Yeah. I mean, Jerry Jeudy's 53 overall in ADP. I don't know. It's like 45 is this one.
If you want a receiver.
Or 48. I don't want to believe in the Ridley thing, Debo Samuel thing. No. Amari Cooper, who's the QB there? Yeah.
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. That's solid.
You might find DK there.
I'm going to go with Amari Cooper. DK, okay. Who's yeah. Oh, Metcalf?
I would take Ridley or Metcalf over him. Yeah,
that would be third round. I already got my third round pick. That was Anthony. Okay. I can't get Metcalf in the fourth. I'm going to go with Amari Cooper with Cleveland because you said that was an amazing offensive line. He needs a. Yeah. He's a hate Watson. I won't root for him, but I'll root for Amari Cooper. Good old steady Cooper. Then you got in the next round, I'm going to start my craziness and I'm going to go and get my Swift. And I'm going to get ahead of that one, which is now fifth round. You want to say it's the beginning of it. So it's like what, pick 50 or so. And I'm going to be, cause he won't come back. Cause that's 61, is where I see. So if I'm going to get him, I have to get him now. And that means in the 70s. Right, because it's gonna be like 68 or so. You're like you hate my draft, and it's great. I'm gonna do I'm gonna double up here on another running back. We haven't talked about Tampa Bay situation, but Rashad White feels to me Like, he's got the job, right? It's him. It's in Tampa Bay.
We think.
Okay, I'm going after Rashad White. Let's go over James Conner because I feel like that's just going to be a complete mess in Arizona. I don't want anything to do with that one. Coming back around, now I'm going after my Penny. I'm getting him in that eighth round and then followed by Tua in the ninth. And then we're going after, let's get some Jerick McKinnon. Why not? Take a chance there. Let's get that guy. And then let's get Mozart as well in Miami. There's all the running backs all set there. Now I just got to get more wide receivers. So I'm going to go after, as you said, Sky Moore. Why not? I'm going to then go after, maybe some nice floor with Lazard, in with the Jets and, Aaron Rodgers. And then honestly, don't care. I'll go for Ross, as you mentioned. That sounds good. Probably go an extra round early just to get Justin Tucker and not think about a thing. And then I probably do an extra round early to get your Eagles as well for the for defense. And there you go. There's my draft. How'd I do?
Okay. It was fine.
It was fine.
I love the Tua pick in the ninth round. That gets to the heart of, I think, one of the most important strategies of all. And that is, you know, letting other people take players. If you have somebody that you love, and there's a few of them here for me, Trevor Lawrence, Tua, we're not going to talk about that guy in Cleveland, but he's in that area also, that have high upside and they have that ability to way outperform their draft. So taking other positions that you have players that you want and letting those guys come to you, that's just a key strategy.
Now, here's the thing, Drew, is that you get to look at this again in January and be like, oh my gosh, Nick would have had such a, say it. What kind such of team a, am I going to have? Such a.
Well, we don't know. That's the beauty of this
an
thing.
Amazing team. So, Drew. Amazing. I set okay. You up. Yeah. What yeah. Incredible job by Nick. Oh my gosh. We should have listened to him more. Insane. Yeah. I can't wait to look back at that one. That's just some hypothetical.
I love your ETN pick because, as some people might think, that's a little early, but that's right where I have him rated. And I think that's the right where he's going to finish. I think he's going to really return value for there. So I'm a big fan of that pick. I love the Tua pick in a big way. The Sky Moore pick was terrific value. So I'm just trying to go off the head from the picks.
I just want to thank my league mates for letting me get all the guys I wanted. But that's going to do for this one. I can't thank Drew enough. We didn't really know how long this was going to go, and he's staying on so much longer than we originally agreed to. So Drew, thanks so much for bringing me on and letting me have my fun. Amazing, amazing information. And of course, so much more you can find on the Cubulus site. Drew, tell everybody what you guys are doing at Cubulus. Tell the people.
Well, yeah, we're doing, like we said, we're doing the sit start in week one. So in September, we start with that. But in the meantime, we have what we saw just cranking it out right now. That we have people watching every single game and breaking it down for you so that you don't have to sit there and suffer through Marcus Mariota like I did. So you can have somebody tell you how bad or how good the players have been. So that's pretty phenomenal. So, and we do that during the regular season as well. So that's awesome. I'm looking forward to those things continuing. And like I mentioned with the Discord, so we'll be getting our Fantasy Pros rankings going, our staff rankings. I am proud to say that our staff rankings are right now, they were number, I think it was 17 last year. So we did very good. Well. Yeah. And we are in the both my personal and also the staff rankings, which I had nothing to do with prior to this year, are both in the top 25 in multi-year accuracy. That's the whole time span from 2020 all the way through 2022. So I'm quite proud of our staff. We've got amazing writers, and we've got so many cool and amazing things going on. Our division preview podcasts are still going strong. I'm looking forward to some special guests coming up. I'm not going to spoil it, but we've had Jeff Hasley from Football Guys on recently. Yeah. We've had Jake Trowbridge from Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life on. So we've had some great, great guests, and I'm looking forward to that continuing as well.
Fantastic stuff, Drew. Thanks a lot for letting me come on and just take over the podcast for a moment. But that is going to be it. Drew, take us out.
Well, thank you so much for listening, guys. It's we're here at QBList.com. Check us out. Watch us on Reddit. We're doing an AMA on Saturday. By the time this recording comes out, might be right around that time. So Saturday about 11 a.m. We'll be on Reddit answering questions from all the Redditors there. So thanks so much for listening.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.